In the first documentary series, I asked you about Jack, and it was a very heart-rending, emotional conversation we all had. But I'm just going to play it again for you now, and then I want you to just tell me what... I just wanted you to tell me your thoughts on it.
We talked about school, we talked about diabetes, worrying not so much now, but maybe when he's older. But what would you hope for Jack's future? What do you see? Do you even think about it?
Oh, God, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All the time, and I think it's like the boat I keep pushing out to sea. I don't want it to come in yet. Mm.
I've said from an early age for Jack, if we get him into a, maybe sound contradictory, but working in a local shop, stacking shelves, because he's extremely observant, as Blania said, and I'm here he would mix with people, and local people would know him. Mm-hmm. Now they could speak to him, he may not speak back to them, but understand.
They'll know it's Jack. That's Jack, you know, he's fine.
He wouldn't stand and have a conversation with them, but he would feel comfortable in their presence. So for me, that would be...
You'd be delighted.
I would be absolutely delighted with that. And when he was diagnosed...
Yeah.
Something to do every day.
Something for him to do.
Him busy. Because do you know what? Jack, he's extremely capable. Mm-hmm. And he's got... he's very bright. Mm. Now, he has learning difficulties, but he's not... very low IQ, which is a different scenario. So he's so capable of learning, but he has huge learning difficulties, dyslexia, dyscalculia. You know, he's going to have hurdles always in that arena. But I don't want him to have a mundane, boring life either, sitting at home doing nothing, because he's never going to be, he's never going to do a leaving cert, or he's never going to go to college, you know. But I don't want him. He's so capable. I would love him to be able to find a path that will teach him things in a way that he can learn, you know.
I have no doubt you'll do that. Both of you.
You said there, Sean, in the first bit that, you know, if he was just to work in a shop and stack shelves, that's still a good thing for Jack to do, because he'd be safe and people would know him, and he'd be, you know, I can understand that. But has anything changed? Do you ever think sometimes, you know what, I wonder really what that fellow will end up doing?
We have to be realistic, Alison. And for me, of course, you want the best one. But I think if what we spoke about working in a supermarket is, he would be happy, he would be content. And he wouldn't be under any pressure. And that would be it. And he wouldn't have, as Brian says, a mundane life. He would get up in the morning, he'd have a routine, a schedule, go to a job, be there at a certain time, come home at a certain time, and I think he'd be more content in life.
Do you know what, to be honest, I think since Jack was diagnosed, no more than with the other, I never projected anything for Maeve or Emer. And I think with Jack, it's much the same. You just live in the moment. You try to do the best for the time that you're in and make their world a happy place and make it good for them for the time that they're living in now. And not, I can't honestly say I've ever, and I still don't project into the future to when Jack's 30 and think, God, what will he be doing? And we'll be really old and decrepit, and what will Jack be doing?
But you know, this is radio, I'll come back and we'll still sound fine.
But you know what I mean? Jack has never stopped learning and progressing. Jack, the thing about Jack is he hasn't reached his potential, because he continues to learn, adapt his behaviours, his world expands because he can cope with more, and he'll always do that. I can't envision him ever hitting a wall and that's it now, that's Jack, that's the final Jack, Jack's not going to grow anymore. He will, he'll always do that. He'll always grow, he's always going to be changing, learning new stuff and coping with more things.
This is a nice party, Jack. Thank you for having me over for tea.
Come again.
Will you come up to my house for tea and school? Will you come up to my house? when we see now, Sean?
Friday.
What day will Jack come up to my house for tea and school?
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday and Friday.
Okay.
Friday time. What time, Alton?
What time suits you?
When are you not busy, Jack?
I'm not busy on Friday.
He's not busy on a Friday. Your mum and dad told me that you love holidays. Is that true?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember any of your holidays?
Oh, I actually have each of my every holidays in every month. Like having a holidays on Halloween and even the holidays at Christmas.
Well, John,
And I also have the summer holidays over in June, July and August. Then before the time, then I then go back to school in September.
He loves holidays.
Yeah.
Fun holidays.
Loves going on holidays.
Loves holidays and likes holidays to be planned. You know, from about January on, he likes to know where he's going. And you know, and he likes to go, well, he prefers to go in June because he's been to a few in June. You know, so once you do a thing once or twice at the same time, it can be difficult enough to try and get
And does he expect a holiday every year?
Oh, absolutely.
Holiday in June every year. Oh, I lived here. I could expect a holiday in June every year.
Absolutely. It's like other people have priorities and they would be trying to do this, that and the other. And our priority is to try and get him a holiday. He wants 14 days of sunshine. You know, no rain. Don't be giving me rain.
Oh,
that
sorry.
Was 4 or 5 years
don't
ago.
Don't go on a ferry.
What about the holidays when you go on a plane?
Oh yeah, it's where I go to the airport before I take our flight and planes go on runways and then it goes into the sky. And when I also like to look down at everything from down below on the ground.
Is that fun? Yeah. When you're way up high in the sky?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you love that? You're smiling. Do you love that?
Yeah, and after that, we land onto a very big, special holiday. I go to lots of holidays where it's sunny.
You like the sun, Ben?
Yeah. Because it feels on my nice, warm skin.
It does.
And also, eventually, it has a swimming pool.
Do you swim?
Yeah.
Very good.
Do
you swim?
Yeah.
Now, this is a man who likes sun holidays but won't go to the beach. Be no beach, be no lying out in sand or anything like that, but he has his routine and we run.
He's quite good at working outside of a routine then, if he likes to go away.
He's a funny fella. He has certain things that might be fixed, and then there'll be loads of other things that definitely aren't fixed. You know, so he's those big things and going places like that and changing, you know, your whole world, he can manage nearly better than maybe some of the smaller
things. Huge for kids on this spectrum.
But I suppose that wouldn't have happened in this house anyway, because we're just not those sort of people. You know, we took him everywhere and did everything with him, so he just got on with it. You know, he didn't, and I suppose he didn't kick up a huge fuss about it, so we sort of, we went with it, didn't we?
That's an interesting point, John, because that's come up before, that families who just immerse their children, their autistic children, into whatever everybody else is doing, and just say, no, we have to go here, we have to go there, we're leaving tomorrow. Little bit of planning, so you don't just throw the events on the guys. But that seems to work out really well.
Absolutely, that's what we do with him. Now he does like warning, and now, you know, but as he's got older now, he needs less and less. There was a time you would have had to plan it relatively well, tell him what's happening, but now he's much better. I suppose we make a huge effort to go, you know what I mean, while other people... You know, there's loads of things we should be doing to our house and our garden and everything else, but you know, because he enjoys them and it's really important to him, we prioritise them over something else.
We went sort of over to Boston and then went down to Disney.
Ben loved Disney characters when he was five, so that must have been massive.
Yeah, no, he didn't, he loves them. And that's when we went back that time, 2011. We did Disney and we did Universal, and like California. He loves that. He absolutely loves that.
What about very special holidays when you went to Disneyland?
It's actually Disneyland that features with one of the attractions and rides.
You go on the rides?
And one is it also probably has Mickey.
Did you see Mickey Mouse?
Who
else did you see?
It probably has Goofy.
Goofy? Who else?
And Donald Duck.
Yes. Any princesses?
Probably Cinderella.
Yeah.
And
don't go too
close to the camera. And what about Snow White?
Snow White. And who might be following Snow White? 7 funny little people.
It's the 7 dwarves.
Yeah. Do you know their names?
I know. They are Doc, Bashful, Happy, Grumpy, Sleepy, and Sneezy.
Very small, Josh. You know a lot about these movies. You're very clever.
Yeah.
What's your favourite movie?
I think it's actually The Lion King.
Oh, you know, Ben, I have never seen The Lion King.
I know. It only has weird Simba in it.
Yeah, who's Simba?
He's a very friendly lion.
Could you and I watch The Lion King in your house one day?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, thanks, Ben. Yeah, that'd be nice. Could we have popcorn?
I don't think so.
I just made a note to ask you guys. When, as parents, does Ben grow up?
Probably never.
That's probably prompted by the fact that we're talking about, you know, where he's going next after school, because he is growing up, he is, you know.
Yeah. No. Do you have a greatest fear? Do you have lots of fears?
I suppose we have very similar fears to, you know, the people, any child with special needs and not just autism. You know, you would like to think that you would live a very, very long time so that you can be around for them, and you know that would be the biggest, absolutely. And just with that, definitely, that, you know, I think you could.
That is definitely the big one.
That is
because his great thing in life is the bonds that he has with, you know, the family.
The family, of course. Siblings come and go. Yeah. They're transient. But you guys are here,
and you can't put that. You know, say to any of the kids, you know, well, you're going to have to look after Ben because they've got their life to live as well.
Yes, and about who would make decisions and stuff like that, and who would we want to be making decisions and all of that.
Do you guys see him living independently?
No, definitely not. He would, he'd need support. Like, he's definitely too vulnerable. You know, it's the all the unknowns, and he wouldn't be able to protect himself if he was at risk. Mm. You know,
he's very independent, but at the same time, he'll need support. He'd never be able to leave him in an unprotected situation where, you know, now at the moment now we don't have to worry about him. He's way having a shower, he'll do his own thing. We know he's safe enough there. But, you know, because if anything goes wrong, and, you know, whatever it might be, you know, for example, we'd have forgotten sometimes to leave a towel in the shower. You know, and you know, why is he in the shower for, you know, he'd have just stood there. He had to be trained to, you know, go and get a towel and things like that there. So it's those little situations that would come up that would just make life so difficult and potentially even dangerous.
Miserable, he'd be saying.
Imagine if, you know, everything went to do was, you know.
I suppose, like, long term, you know, like, we're not naive, and like, we probably wouldn't be here, and I suppose, and you know, we don't necessarily talk about this very much because we think, oh, well, he's only a little fella yet, like, you know. And you know, but from, you know, in reality, I understand services and I know how they're put together, and I know that at some stage Ben will probably move into sheltered accommodation, you know, because that will be the right thing to do, and it'll be the right thing for him, and, you know, possibly
it'll have to happen,
you know, because that's the reality, because Ben's going to live longer than us.
No, you're not going to seek that situation at the moment, but what we find is, you know, these things all have a natural rhythm to the, there's a, you know, and there will come a time when it's right for him, you know, it's, you know, and that's the main thing, when it's right for him.
Now, it may turn out that, you know, some of his siblings or somebody takes him or somebody, you know, that's the way I would see that, they might take him, but they'll be taking him for weekends, and he'll still have his own life, and he'd have his own accommodation maybe the rest of the week or whatever, you know, and that they would be there for him, and that, you know, I suppose my only hope that he would, you know, he'd have still have lots of family. If we weren't here, that he'd have lots of family and people who'd be around him and spend a lot of time with him and do things with him and take
visits
him and take him on holidays. Yeah. We have to keep an open mind.
Very much an open mind, because you never know.
And expect high expectations,
because he's exceeded every expectation that we've had in the past. You know?
Mm-hmm. Hopefully we'll get some sort of balance that works for him, and, you know, and, but I suppose we've learned a few things about him, and we know things that, you know, seem to make him tick, and, you know, we'll try and put them into what the next stage is, and hope that if we're starting there, that we'll be able to move him on, and, you know, and that he'll be happy, and that he'll be motivated, and he'll learn more things and do more things, and which I think he will.
Yeah.
You know, absolutely.
Just somewhere that makes him happy.
A
began getting anxious at the thought of calling down to ask Kira about how she did in her exams, given the fact that the offer of her college place relied on her passing them. Kira, leaving cert results were yesterday. Now, you didn't want me to go up to the school, I understand that, because a lot of pressure, wasn't there? You were nervous. So you went up and you got your results. So tell me, what was the outcome?
The outcome was good. I got what I needed anyway to get into my college. So all I have to do now is go up in a few weeks and accept my course and then I start whenever they tell me to.
Right. So you're so excited, aren't you? How did that feel?
Definitely relief after I figured out what I got. But it's just not... Yesterday morning was not a good morning.
Nervous?
Definitely. I didn't want to eat anything. I was really bad and... I feel like I kind of made myself worse than what I should have done. I felt like it was a really big deal, especially because I really thought that I did really badly in it.
Did you? Well, yeah. It is a big deal. It's nerve-wracking for lots of kids. But for you now, you know, this huge transition that depended on your results. I mean, you're just very worried, weren't you?
I was, yeah. Like, I was nearly in tears. Like, it was so bad. And
But you went in. So what happened?
I went into the college and I met my vice principal. And he got my results for me. Then I went over into a corner by myself. Well, me and Samantha. Samantha came with me. And then I opened it. I was nearly in tears as I was opening the envelope. Actually, I was in tears, actually.
Just so worried, nervous.
Yeah.
So you looked down and you saw?
What I wanted. I passed everything. I got what I needed. So.
Well done, Kira. You're brilliant. Honestly, well done. Because that's a huge achievement. You passed everything. You did really well. Now, maths.
Mm-hmm.
You passed maths.
I passed maths.
Yay! Because maths was awful, wasn't it?
It was really bad. That was probably one of the worst ones I didn't want to look at. I did not want to see what I got in maths at all, but no, it paid off.
You passed everything, you didn't pay anything, you did really well. It's a tough state exam that you had to go through. And the other one, Ag Science, your big project that we looked at and all the work you put into that. Did you get your honour in Ag Science?
I did get my honour.
Brilliant.
My only honour, but I got it.
Oh, well, now that's great. But you that was a fantastic project you showed me. Do you remember months ago we sat and looked at it?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can breathe a sigh of relief then.
Definitely.
You're all happy?
Yes, definitely now. That's another weight off my shoulders now.
I left it 6 weeks before calling back to see Kira again to find out how she was getting on at college.
I have to say, I love it, really. The course is really good, and it's so unusual to have all like different classes, but they all tie into one thing. It's so different from school. We have like homework from different classes that have nothing to do with each other. Everything that I do in my classes can link together into something. So it's just like, it's so handy just to have kind of one big subject altogether with like little parts in it, if you know what I mean. So it is definitely easier than school anyway.
So Kira, the college is in Derry. You live in Donegal. So tell me how all that works out.
Well, all of my classes start at 9 o'clock in the morning. So I have to get up at 6:15 every morning to be ready for 7. Because my neighbour takes me to Balbuffet. And that's the earliest bus I can get to be in Derry on time. It's the 7:30 bus from Balbuffet to Derry. Then I'll be in Derry for 8:30 and then 10-minute walk down to the college from there, about 8:45 then.
Wow, so you're up 3 hours before you've even started your first class.
Yes.
How's that going?
Tiring, but it's what I have to do.
Were you anxious at the beginning?
Yeah, because I didn't know anybody who was there, and it's, you know, hard for me to make friends, first of all. So I just kind of, for the first couple of times, whenever I had lunch breaks, I just kind of sat with Rachel, my PA, and we just kind of talked and discussed how she could help me in the class and what I need help with. So it wasn't too bad until I finally started talking to the people in my class and started to make some friends and stuff like that. So it was great now.
So you're just a little bit shy and nervous at the beginning, yeah?
Yeah.
But that's like everybody here, isn't
it?
Yeah. You know, it's a big move. So you love the course, and this is what you're good at, this is what you want to do.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so you have a huge big smile on your face, and your eyes are all lit up. You look really happy. This is great, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I was really kind of, I remember thinking, because I had to start the college on the 1st of September, I remember thinking the night before, how I didn't want my summer to end because I was going to miss all my friends from my secondary school and all the memories I had of the past 5 years and all that. But like, it's nearly, actually it's more about 2 months later that I'm thinking, how would I cope without Derry?
Yeah. And isn't it amazing how things change?
Yeah.
But for you, change is a little bit difficult, so, you know, a little bit different. Definitely, so,
yeah.
So you're doing really well.
Yeah, I feel like I am. I actually can't believe how I'm off for this week and I was wishing I was back in Derry. I was wishing I was back in school.
That's good, isn't it? The coping mechanisms you talked about before when you were younger, you know, that if you were in a situation you felt uncomfortable with, you'd learned to take yourself away from that situation, go into the bathroom maybe and just calm down. Do you still do that?
I don't think I have done that yet in the college, you know. But like, everyone in my course is just as crazy as I am. So I don't feel like I have to calm myself down because they're all the same as me. Like, but no, I don't know what it is. I think, I think for myself, is that being in Derry is kind of the first time I felt like I fitted in, I belonged, that kind of thing. Because we all like the same things and it is just the best crack I've ever had. It's great.
Isn't that fantastic? Your mum said that. She said that it's just as if you just fit like a hand in a glove.
Yeah.
This course, it just fits. But isn't that great, Ciara? That must make you really happy that it's worked out that way for you.
Yeah, definitely. I never thought it was going to happen. I thought it was going to take at least up to now to even make a friend or whatever.
Mm.
But no, now we're actually, I have like my little group of friends on us and we're actually getting along and we talk as if we've known each other for all of our lives. And like,
well done.
Getting along with people is definitely kind of what makes or breaks something. And because I got on so well with the people up in Derry, it definitely makes it easier for me to travel up there every day to them.
It's all working.
Definitely, yeah. Mm.
You know, you're so amazing, Carmel, yourself and Patsy. You just keep on top of everything the whole time.
Well, you're smiling.
You do.
We try.
You do, but I can see that you've spent an awful lot of time, you've invested an awful lot of time in Ciara's education and in helping her through every step, every stage.
Yeah, cause
and I think, yeah, from what I can see, that if you hadn't have done that, she might have gotten a little bit lost, you know, because Ciara needed help. But you were always there to try and draw help from whoever you could get it from.
Absolutely. We never...
It's been full-time, hasn't it, Carmen?
Yes. Once you became aware of your autism, that how Asperger is affecting you, that things changed.
Did you agree?
Pretty good. Oh, absolutely. Do you agree with that, Ciara?
Probably.
Probably. Well, that's when I felt, anyway, that things became a lot... easier.
Ciara just took charge, took responsibility.
Well, Ciara started asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a big turning point.
Mm-hmm. When was this, Karma?
Now, when was that?
I don't remember.
4 years ago, maybe?
Mm-hmm. So it's about 14, 13, 14.
Yeah.
13 and a half.
Yeah, right about that.
She look at Ciara now, sitting up talking to me.
See, that's huge.
Huge thing. Yeah.
I know it's huge, like, because sure, I never want to talk to anybody about Asperger's because I still don't really like to talk about it, but if they ask me questions, I try to answer them, but sure, sometimes I can't because I don't even know myself.
Yeah, but that's okay. Neither do we. We don't know.
No, that's for sure.
We don't know the answers to lots of questions either. I wouldn't worry about that.
Ciara, what does the future hold for you? Do you see yourself living away from home? Are you going to be independent? Are you going to be able to do that?
Yeah, I hope to do that next year.
Okay. Yeah. You're not gonna not waste time.
No, well, actually, well, literally, if I had my way, I'd be living up in Derry this year. Like, but no, I think it's definitely better to kind of go up to college, like, you know, every day, but then be able to come home and be yourself and be with your family and all that. So next year I would like to live up there now since I kind of know Derry and I know places around it and know people up there. And I definitely would live independently. I know I'm able to.
What about relationships, Ciara? Boyfriends, marriage, family? What do you think about all of that?
I'd love to have all it if I can.
Yeah. Well, there's no reason why you shouldn't, is there? No,
I'd love to do the whole shebang, as I call it. Mm. Definitely would love to get married and have kids and whatnot. But that's way into the future.
It's way into the future. So, I mean, looking on into the future, Carmel, you've said to me before, and I think you're right, that Ciara could be a very good spokesperson for kids, for teenagers with Asperger's, kids on the spectrum. you know, she'd be a good role model. People could look at how she's managed her life with you guys and how she's come so far.
Yeah.
What do you think about that? Do you think she'd be good at that?
I do think that Ciara can talk, as you've known now from being interviewing her for over a while, no more than myself. But she has a great way of, once she understands it, she's very easy then to talk about it. She can get it across to anyone. Like, even she'll tell you herself, when she went to college and the few of the kids in the course asked her, like, you know, why do you have this girl that works with you in some of the classes?
Her assistant.
Yeah, her assistant. Mm-hmm. Why is she with you? And Ciara told them, and they asked her questions, and she was quite able to answer the questions. And then they said, okay, that's fine. And there was no more. One guy, I think, just asked her, was she going to die from it? And she says, no, I'm not. And he says, all right. He says, that's fine. Because he just thought, like, was she going to be there? And then, and it could maybe, you know, 6 months' time, was she going to get ill or something? Like, you know, he thought it was an illness, you see. So again, it's just the people being unaware of what actually autism and Asperger's is, like, you know.
It's very positive, isn't it?
It is very positive, because I think for any child that's high functioning, and Ciara is very high functioning, that when they know what they have and how it affects them, and they learn how to deal with the anxieties of that, there is no reason why they can't go on and live a normal, whatever normal is, life. So yeah, I do think Ciara is, you know, for any parent that would have a child now moving on from even national to secondary, like, she's well able to talk about her experiences and how she overcame them. And it's good to know that they can achieve greatness if they want to. Now, look, she's not even at Christmas in college yet, but the fact that she's even there and up every day, there's never a moan or a groan about going. She loves to get there. She's taken part in everything. There's nothing that she's said, no, I'm not going to try or whatever. It's huge.
The Moon is an Orange Triangle is a Real Films production and was funded by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland with the television licence fee.